May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Our gospel today was once again from the Gospel of John. The Revised Common Lectionary, which we follow, is a three-year cycle. Matthew, Mark, and Luke each get a year, and then passages from John are inserted at special times. And the Easter season is one of those special times. The fourth Sunday of Easter today always includes a reading from John chapter 10, in which Jesus defines his relationship with his people by saying about himself, "I am the good shepherd." For that reason, the fourth Sunday of Easter is frequently known as Good Shepherd Sunday. In the Catholic Church and in the Anglican Church, it is also known as Vocation Sunday. And that derives from the thought that the Good Shepherd calls us each by name, and we each have a unique vocation. It's a reminder that the work of our lifetime as followers of Jesus Christ is to listen for his voice that calls us, and then shape our lives according to that call. John Henry Newman, a powerful voice of reform and revitalization of the church in the 19th century, once wrote this: "God has created me to do him some definite service. He has committed some work to me which he has not committed to another. I have my mission. Somehow I am necessary for his purposes. I have as necessary a place as an archangel has. I have a part in this great work. He has not created me for nothing." And then Newman added a personal prayer, which I think could be a prayer for each of us on Vocation Sunday. And it was this: "Deign to fulfill your high purpose in me. I am here to serve you, to be yours, to be your instrument." My sheep, and that is us, know my voice and they follow me. Let me tell you the story of Nipper. You may know it already. We're not exactly sure when Nipper was born, but he was still a puppy when Mark Burrow found him as a stray and decided to adopt him. It was 1884. Mark Burrow was one of three brothers who were all artists, and he painted scenery for a theatre in Bristol. He called his newfound puppy Nipper because whenever somebody visited his studio, his little puppy would run around making a great to-do, all the while nipping at the visitors' legs. He was a common little mixed breed dog, probably part Jack Russell, maybe part Fox Terrier, maybe part bull terrier, and that's where he got his nipping. Unfortunately, Mark died about 3 years after he had adopted Nipper. His widow felt that the dog was too much for her to handle, so Nipper went to live in Liverpool with Mark's brother, Francis. Francis was a portrait artist. He doted on Nipper, who never left his side. When he was working on his paintings, Nipper was always there, right beside him. They were together for a number of years, but then, no one knows why, Mark's widow decided that she really would like Nipper back again. By this time, she had moved to Kingston-upon-Thames, which is just to the west of London, and that is where Nipper spent the rest of his hyperactive days, fighting with other dogs, nipping strangers' heels, ratting, and chasing pheasants in Richmond Park. Nipper died in September 1895, and he was buried in a tree-lined park to the west of London. And there is a modern bank building on the spot where he was buried, and on its wall you can see a commemorative plaque to Nipper. So how did Nipper become so famous? He became famous because he became one of the most recognizable advertising icons of the 20th century. 3 years after he had died, Francis, who had always loved the dog, decided to paint a portrait of him from memory. He painted him looking into the black trumpet of an Edison Bell cylinder phonograph, a forerunner of the record player. And for those of you who are under 40, that's what we used to use to listen to music when we were young. When I was 12, I listened to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones on a record player. Apparently, Francis always listened to a phonograph while he was painting, and the little dog would sit there, fixated by the sound of the music, with his head cocked to one side. And that was just how Francis painted him. He later said, "I often noticed how puzzled he was to make out where the sound came from." Francis offered Nipper's portrait to the Royal Academy, but they weren't interested. He then sensed that there was advertising potential to his picture, so he copyrighted it. And he copied it right with the title, "His Master's Voice." He offered to sell it to the Edison Bell Phonograph Company, and they were definitely not interested. They said, "Dogs don't listen to phonographs." A friend suggested to Francis that the painting could be improved if the black trumpet in the picture were replaced with a brass trumpet. Francis needed an example of a brass trumpet to paint from, and so he went to see if he could borrow one from what was then known as the Gramophone Company. And the owner of that company immediately saw the advertising merit in the painting, and he offered to buy it if Francis could paint out the entire phonograph and replace it with a gramophone. Francis agreed to the deal, and he sold the painting, along with the copyright, for £100. The agreement included a provision that the painting could be used as a trademark in the American market, And it was in this country that Nipper became famous. The gramophone company evolved into RCA and eventually HMV and EMI. The slogan that accommodated the trademark in America was, "He hears his master's voice." Those of us who have and love dogs know just how much our voices mean to them. You call their name and they begin to wag their tail, to squirm, to jump. They're anticipating being petted or scratched or fed or taken for a run. And Jesus is using the very same image when he says that he, the shepherd, calls his sheep by name. And they know his voice, and they follow him. The tilt of Nipper's head in the gramophone advertisement signals that the sound has his full attention. He's intrigued. He's ready to respond. When he hears his master's voice, he's saying, "So what do you want me to do?" And that is the question that Good Shepherd Sunday, Vocation Sunday, poses for all of us. Lord, I have heard you call me by name. You have a unique vocation for me. What is it that you want me to do? A vocation is not something that only clergy have. That is one vocation, and I rejoice in the fact that it has been mine. And I pray for Luke that he may be as blessed as I have been. Still remember with gratitude the first person who said to me, "Paul, have you considered being ordained?" I think you should think about it. And in that question, I heard my voice, my master's voice. You may be surprised to hear me say this, but since I've been here at All Saints, I've come across a number of you who I think should be asking yourself that question. But it is not just clergy who are called. God calls each one of us. First and foremost, God calls us to change, to become more Christ-like. We are called to attend to what we hear in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and then apply those lessons to ourselves. And as we do that, it will change us. One of the constant themes of the Bible is that lives that were touched by God were changed. Encounter God in your life, and you cannot help but be changed. You cannot help but become a better person. But while we are called to change, we are also called to become more deeply ourselves. God never calls us to become something or someone that we are not. He always calls us not to be someone else, but to be what we are really capable of becoming. It may be that there are sides to us that are still dormant, still undeveloped, or that rarely see the light of day. And we're being called to allow those sides of us to flourish. It may be that he is calling us to dare to do the thing we've always secretly thought we ought to try. Maybe that he's calling us to have courage. Remember, there are a lot of things that are a vocation. Being a spouse is a vocation. Being a parent is a vocation. Being young is a vocation, as is being old. Being talented with our hands is a vocation. Being a leader and being a follower are both vocations. Being someone who is blessed with the world's goods is a vocation. Needing to ask for help is a vocation. Being a person of prayer is a vocation. Being a friend is a vocation. In all those varied vocations, we are asked to hear our Master's voice and follow him. Saint Irenaeus once wrote, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." And that makes sense. That we are alive at all is the work of God. Us being fully alive reflects on him. His handiwork shows his glory. And we are most fully alive when we are fully ourselves and more fully like Christ. Vocation Sunday is here to remind us that we have just one life to live, and it can be lived to its fullest if we will hear our Master's voice. Amen.